Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beer Dad and Brew podcast. As always, I'm your host, the Beer Dad himself, Justin Allen. And today I'm flying solo. I'm going to shout out our good friend Brandon, who got ill this morning. So get better, brother. Hope you're back in the saddle soon. But we are at a brewery, or I'm at a brewery, and I'm here joined by Miguel Delgado, owner of Good Day Brew here in Paris, California. How you doing, brother?
Great, man. Thanks for coming out today, giving us the opportunity for this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been wanting to come here for a while. It's not too far from where I live, and I follow you on social media, and you're always having awesome food vendors and special events and stuff like that. So I'm glad I finally could make it. So Good Day Brew.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. Good Day Brew Co. So Paris, California, for those of you who don't know, it is off the 215 freeway, just south of Riverside, north of like Menifee, Murrieta area. Very easy to get to. So for those of you that want to know how to get to the brewery, it's going to be the 215 northbound, and you can exit Ramona Expressway what's the exit before here? Nuevo?
Actually,
the new one, Placentia or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's Placentia, the brand new one.
So either one, and then you're right off of Paris Boulevard and Walnut. So not too hard to find, and really awesome brewery. You've been in business for how long now?
All right, so we were actually in business during COVID, okay. But we had never, since we got our license, during that, our doors didn't officially open till April of, it's 2 years now. So what is it? 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're a little over 2 years now.
Okay. Yes. So yeah. And, a really cool area for you because this is the only brewery in the area.
Oh yeah. We're the only brewery in town. We actually got voted number one brewery in Paris. We actually have shirts for that. Yeah, so we run with that for now. I'm pretty sure, and we're going to be excited when more breweries open, but we got that title, number one brewery right now.
The OG of Paris.
The OG.
That's right. Yeah, definitely the OG of Paris. And the locals, when you opened, how did they respond?
Yeah, you know, when we opened, I was actually really amazed by the response. A lot of the cool thing with the Paris community is they like small businesses.
Yeah.
And as soon as we opened up, they were excited for us to be a part of the community. We started off a little bit slow, maybe like the first month, and then it just shot off within a couple of months. Actually, I thought it was pretty different.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's good that they support small businesses. And there are a lot of small businesses around this area. A lot of good places to eat. And it's cool to see the community come out. And I see them too, like whenever you have your special events. And you know, if you guys follow Good Day Brew Co. on Instagram, you'll see some amazing food vendors and the people come out.
Oh, yeah.
It gets crazy. I bet you get packed in here and the beer flowing, you probably tap out on kegs and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it gets pretty busy Thursday nights for the foodie nights.
Yeah.
Between me and you, those are the nights that give me the most anxiety.
I'll bet.
We don't really get anywhere from, 300 people all the way up to like 700.
Wow.
But it's just running back and forth, and there's just constant fires having to be put out. But people love it. They love it. We have local vendors all the time.
It's
I mean, amazing food. They all have their own little niche. We have a potato guy.
Yeah, I saw that the other night. I was telling my class, I was like, you guys, you want some good food? And of course, right now the wife and I are dieting, and that would be like something that she would really like and I'd really like. I'm like, oh man, cheat day maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you have a baked potato and you throw carne asada on top, that's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like legit. I was actually really surprised when they inquired here when we first had our first food event. I was like, potato, loaded potato. And then I had it and I was like, oh, wow, this is different. It's actually really good. The guy, he's actually expanded a lot. He started with just a tent. And then recently he just bought a food trailer. He just kept on, reinvesting back into his business, and now he's about to buy another food trailer. So he'll be running like four pop-ups.
Oh, wow.
At the same time, he'll go here and then like three other places.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, it's cool to see. And for those of you that don't know, Thursday nights is foodie night here at Good Day Brew Co. And I mean, I've seen social media influencers come out here for some of the food. And I mean, it does get crazy. So get here early if you want a good spot.
Yeah. And also, too, don't be shy if you are, if like, let's say you have arts and crafts that you want to show off. We always let different vendors come. So
nice.
Yeah, there feel you go. Free to show up and just DM us. Like, there's really no like crazy paperwork we ask for. Just you know, just message it. I'm the one who answers the Instagram personally, and yeah, we'll give you a spot. So
awesome. Let us know. There you go. Local vendors, we do have a lot. Local vendors. Shout out to one of my favorites, Muñeca's Micheladas.
Nice.
Best michelada mix I've ever had in my life. And they usually do some pop up events and stuff like that too. So, but that'd be a good spot for them.
Yeah.
So this is your baby. I know you got other babies at home, but like your business venture that you went into, and I know you were into fitness and stuff before that, but what made you want to start a brewery?
Yeah. So, it's kind of a weird story. So, prior to having the brewery, I had a gym, and, during when I had that gym, it's a very, you have to give a lot of emotion towards your clients.
Right.
So you have to, you have to recharge the battery. So,
yeah.
With my cousin, we used to brew on the weekends,
mm-hmm.
and, it was just the two of us just brewing, like nobody talking. You're just there, just mashing in, doing your boil. You're just like, it was literally my way of disconnecting.
Yeah.
From the world, you know, with any business, there's always going to be stress. For me, it was just like, all right, we're just there, just two dudes drinking beer, not having to talk to anyone. And then, you know, the missus gave me permission to be away for, you know, that for the 8-hour days for that. But that's pretty much how I got more into the beer. And then the funny thing about this location, our first location, it actually used to be one of my franchises. During COVID, you know, obviously gyms didn't do that great. You know,
right.
We got shut down for quite a bit. And this location, although I at that time wanted to keep the original location, this one, I was like, hey, we can't sustain both. So I was like, hey, why don't we just run with it and then turn it into a brewery?
There you go.
So, just kind of went with what I had and, yeah, and then I just came right into it, and a lot of the paint that you see here was from the prior gym that I had. So I just came, just put a little few TVs and then some K-graders, and then, yeah, we just got going. We made the best with the situation we were dealt with.
Perfect. And here you are, and seems like it's been a successful venture for you so far, and obviously we want you to have continued success and getting your name out there and stuff like that. Because you are, like, for this area, the only brewery, so that's really cool. And for people that are out brew hopping, you know, local breweries, you're kind of in between some, but like this whole area, this is it.
Yeah.
Until you go south to Menifee and you got Mason Jar, which isn't too far from here. But yeah, you've got a cornerstone. Hopefully more breweries gravitate towards this area, but for now, it's all you.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping too. You know, a lot of people think that like, oh, because it's business, you don't want other people in the territory. But we want more breweries actually to pop up here. One of the things with my cousin and I, when we used to go, you know, to different breweries, we'd have to drive pretty far. And then, you know, we were just like, all right, obviously we had to be limited on the beers we had.
It's quite
a way. But yeah. I was like, well, if we had something down the street, why not go there? And the closest thing to craft beer at the time, and we're one of their customers, but a Sonora Grill is like the closest thing.
I love that place.
Yeah, Sonora Grill is awesome. Yeah. So that was the closest thing to craft beer, and they have good craft beer. You know, different vendors at that place, and then Safe House also too. But that was the closest thing. So we're like, hey, you know, this is an awesome opportunity. Let's just go for it. And enough, a lot of the people that live across the street, I think that's why we have had the traffic that we've had. I think we're like one of the few breweries that's like right across the street from a neighborhood.
Yeah.
So, you know, people say they can have a beer and like literally walk home.
Yeah. So you can be one of the few breweries that can truly say we are a neighborhood brewery.
Neighborhood. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, obviously we want people to be safe and being able to go enjoy yourself and have a good time and then just walk right home.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty man. Cool. Exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome. So as far as, Brewing wise, what type of beers are your favorites to brew? And then we'll get into like what's good here in the tap room, but yeah. What do you like to brew? What's your favorite type of beer to brew?
I mean, honestly, I like brewing all of them. To tell you the truth, it's kind of weird. I, for some reason, I have this weird infatuation with like mashing in the smell of it. So like, I don't care like what beer it really is. Yeah. I just, for some reason, that's like,
it's an amazing smell for those that haven't smelled it. And I've talked about it before. I don't know if you agree with me, but it just smells like, amazing, like bowl of oatmeal with like all the brown sugar and everything.
Yeah.
And of course, and you're tempted when you, when you're cleaning out the mash tun, you're tempted to take a bite, but I wouldn't recommend it. You know,
yeah.
It's good for animals though. I don't know if you donate your mash to any local ranches or farms or anything like that. But
yeah, a few people, they come they feed it to their chickens.
Chickens. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the big ones. Yeah. With the mashing, the thing that's cool about that, honestly, is I think like that's like the most critical part with it all.
Right.
So what's cool about it, like you're just like so zoned in, trying not to disturb the grain bed, and you're just going like really slow, and you're trying to get it down, and you're just like you forget about everything. So that's why I really do like brewing any beer. What's going on? Not everyone's a big seltzer fan out there, but what's it called? I hate making the seltzers for sure because that's more
work.
It's just to pay the bills. It's actually a fairly easier process. It's just, oh man, it's that one's not gonna lie. That one's a little bit harder to do.
Yeah, I'll bet. So just about any beer graining in, that's definitely a great experience for those that haven't. And we preach about home brewing and stuff like that to a lot of our listeners. To get them started. And we've had some listeners, you know, hey, we started home brewing, we really love it. And, we want to continue that trend, but it is definitely a great outlet for anybody that's looking for something to do that can be relaxing, but also rewarding at the same time and save you some money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
We still want you to come to Good Day Brew Co. and enjoy your beers. But when you're home brewing, you definitely save a lot of money when you make your own. But
yeah,
it's definitely a great experience. Very relaxing. Get you away from things. As your kids get older, it's fun to have them help out too. And
yeah,
they like my son right now. He's about the age where it's time to start getting him to help because he's four and he loves helping me, following me around, doing everything. So
yeah,
like it's time to bust out the Brewzilla I got for Christmas 2 years ago that I have not opened out of the box yet. So we need to get that thing going. See if we can get little Hunter to help me out. So here in the tap room, what seems to be the favorite of the people?
Yeah, so here in Paris, it's kind of I think that's a little different. We're primarily Hispanic over here in Paris, so it's always been more of like a lager light beer.
Yeah,
that's how we got going. So our number one selling beer is actually our 9.5 Juan.
I love that. So, play on words.
Yeah. I guess I can. Someone told me, oh, you're going to get canceled for doing that. I was like, bro, I'm Mexican. I can make that joke. But yeah, that blonde. Yeah, we go through about 40, I'm sorry, not 40 barrels, 20 barrels a month.
Wow.
On that one in here. And seems to be a favorite for the community. And it seems to get them into the other beers little by little, like such as the IPAs and all that.
Yeah, bring them in with the 9.5 Juan and get them going on anything else. And eventually they find something, you know, like we talked about before we started recording, kind of how, you know, how I got into, you know, craft beer. It usually takes that one where you didn't know that that type of beer existed.
Yeah.
And then your palate starts to change a little bit, whereas like, okay, yeah, I'm drinking these 9.5 Juans and they're refreshing, they're beer.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm tasting a peanut butter porter and I'm like, wow, this is really good. Okay, let's see what else you got.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And it's cool to see because I've seen a lot of people post the 9.5 Juan. So definitely a very popular beer for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar story with me on the craft beer. I was never back in the day a fan of stouts. And, just so happened I was visiting my cousin out in Chino Hills and, I went to like a bar across the street to wait for him to get home. And, I don't know the name of the beer, but it was it's like Firestone. It comes in these little cardboard boxes. It comes out once a year. It's a barrel aged stout.
Oh, like the KBS, what did they barrel?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
But I just remember I had it and I was like, oh crap. Like this is, you know, really, you know, freaking good. So then like little by little, I started, opening also up to other stouts and, Shit, it was funny. The next one I tried was the same one you liked, the peanut butter stout by
Belch and Beaver.
At Belch and Beaver, and then started trying other different ones. They're all freaking amazing. But I had to cut back on those a little bit. I started trying to go more light.
those will get to your waistline eventually, yes, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially the bigger ones, like the big pastry ones, like the brewery out in Orange County.
Yeah.
They make them, and they make some delicious beers, but mm-hmm. I mean, if you drink those bottles and you drink like one or two, like that's like 5 pounds you're gaining, I guarantee.
Oh, not just that, but just have you ever tried to get through, and then I love their beers. So yeah. Have you ever tried to get through the whole flight with the high ABV? Man, I can only make it halfway through.
It's so hard. So it would definitely bring memories back. So every year we do a stout season episode in November. And every year it gets crazier and crazier. And we usually try to start with some light stouts, but then the majority of everything's 14% or higher. And you definitely feel it afterwards for sure.
Yeah. It's scary.
They're really strong, very thick. Thank goodness, you know, on the podcast, usually the stout season episode, there's about five or six of us that share the beers on the show.
Yeah.
And it makes it to where you're not, you know, drinking that much, but still enough to where, yeah, I don't drive home that night. I'm definitely staying, because 14-15% beers definitely hit you, you know. And if they have all those adjuncts, you don't really taste it right away.
Yes, yeah.
And then it creeps up on you. Oh, you know, dude, like say 3-4 tasters down the road, you're like, wow, I'm starting to feel a little fuzzy and I'm a little warm right now. This is kind of crazy. But you can, I mean, there's definitely beers like that that have a much lighter ABV that you can enjoy as well. But so here you have a stout, and I actually have some right here that I sipped on earlier. This is what are we calling this?
It's just a peanut butter cup, honestly. We're trying our best to dial it in. You're pretty much getting the first generation of it. We did the peanut butter on it, trying to keep it light. It's actually 5%, so that way you can enjoy it, crush it without feeling the alcohol as much. I don't know, do you feel it yet or no?
No. You know, that's what's nice about, you know, with porters and some of the lighter stouts and stuff like that, is you get a lower ABV and you can experience a beer that is not as heavy as, say, a barrel-age adjuncted stout. This one right here, like you said, 5%, full of flavor. If you like peanut butter, you're going to like this beer, and which I do, so it's there. And you know, I was telling you earlier, I was teasing Carl Strauss about not bringing out their peanut butter cup porter this year. So maybe I'll just start telling everybody, hey, go down to Good Day Brew. We'll get your keg cleaned out down here, because it is really good. So I think you're on the right track with this one. And I think people are going to like it.
Oh, thanks so much. And then whatever feedback, you know, the customer has and everybody out there, we take it, you know, and we try to fix as much as we can. You can only keep on fixing your recipes even more and more. But for first generation, we're happy with it.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, people that come into craft beer, they a lot of times will seek out something like this, you know, something more, you know, unique, different than a lager or a blonde or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you have your everyday drinkers that are coming in here for 951, but then you're going to get the beer nerds that are going to show up, and then they're going to be like, they might start with that. Because if they're anything like me, whenever I go to a brewery and they don't know me, sometimes that happens where I walk in and that's unavoidable. But if I walk in and it's the first time there, I'll start with like a blonde or a lager or a pilsner, because, you know, as a brewer, you know that those are the harder beers to make. Even though people think they're the easier beers to make, they're harder to make, especially to make good. And so if I get one and it tastes really good, then I know everything else should be pretty solid on the lineup.
Yeah.
So come here. You guys are going to like 951, but you'll like this too as well. And we're going to sample some other things too.
Yeah. Honestly, to tell you the truth, I got so much more respect for the light beers like over time. Our friend Danny's one of the brewers over at Black Plague, and he was always like, you know, drilling me on it. And then with time, you realize, like, holy crap, like, the process for the clarity and everything. Oh, dude, it's such a pain, but then you get to enjoy it more because you're trying to hit every single thing in order to, so it hits the style. So,
right. So what else, what other beers do you want us to try here? So we tried the peanut butter, porter.
Yeah.
And now, and also the IPA, the West Coast IPA. That was really good. Let's talk about that real quick before we try something else.
Yeah. So that one we actually, We partnered up with another brewery for that one to help us with that. It's on fourth generation on that one right there. It started out malty, and now it's a little bit more dank. But give it a try. Let's get some right now, actually.
Yeah, I'll have some more. I had a little sample of it. So.
All right, cool. Yeah, let me you get you some. I'll be right back.
All right. So you can see here right behind us, Miguel, we're literally sitting on the bar, which is unique. I think this is the first time on the show that we've done this before. But bar's right behind us. And we're going to try this West Coast IPA.
You want to help them promote the shirt, right?
Yes. And also, if you're looking for merch, you can see right here Miguel's modeling the Good Day Brew Co. Voted number one brewery in Paris, California. That's a great shirt. I love it.
Cheers.
There we go. All right. So we can take a look at this nicely poured beer, some nice head on it, and beautiful color for a West Coast IPA. And this one is called
Hood Day.
So yeah. little play on words there. Yeah. Good day, hood day.
Yes. So the thing that's funny with the West Coast, I'm not going to lie, I was never the biggest fan.
Yeah.
And until you realize like how much it takes to dial in, you start to appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
But I really was never a big fan either. Yeah,
same.
And although I'm still not really into like the whole bittering, I could appreciate the art a little bit more with it.
Yeah. And this is one of the things where for me, and that's not necessarily for everybody, there's a lot of West Coast IPA fans out there. Shout out to the OG Brandon Gray. That's his favorite style. One of them. Of course, he does like his hoppy pilsners and lagers and stuff like that. But yeah. to make a West Coast that it can appeal to people that don't, like you say, don't normally like IPAs, because the biggest problem with some of the West Coast IPAs and why I steer clear of them is because I tried one and it was horrible for me. It just tasted like you're licking tree bark, and I thought they all would taste like that. And then I started getting really into craft beer and discovering others. And the very first one that I found that I loved was made by Hanger, Betty IPA.
Okay.
And it's all about the balance of, you know, what malts you're using, the hops, everything that you're putting into this beer. And sometimes you come up with a very good combination where maybe you're using the hops to simulate certain types of fruits or whatever the case may be. But because it's balanced so well, it's drinkable. And this one, I already sampled it. But it's very good West Coast IPA.
Yeah, you know, and this was honestly not even too long ago. This was probably like a year and a half ago. I don't know if it's something with my nose, but in the beginning, I couldn't even smell them. To me, I would get like a, and it's still think it's weird. I don't even know how to describe it, but to me, it was like sulfur.
Yeah.
And I don't know till this day what I was smelling, but with this, what I like about it is it's not like too much. It's just dank enough, but it's not like overwhelming my nose.
And what's, so the aroma on it for those hop heads out there, really nice aroma. When you get it, you're going to know it's an IPA right away. But when you drink it, you get a lot of flavor, you get the hops, and then it rinses clean. And we talk about this on the show a lot. When you have a beer like that, that doesn't leave the residual hot burn on your tongue, you know it's a good beer.
Yeah.
If you can enjoy all the flavor when you've taken that, you know, that drink of beer, and then you don't have to worry about, you know, I remember those old Super Bowl commercials, the bitter beer face.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that. This is a really good one, and it's not entirely too high on ABV, so you could probably crush a few of these, you know, like out on a boat or whatever it is that you kids do these days.
I'd keep it at four, man. I've had some bad nights after that.
Yeah. About four is the limit. Well, it depends. If you're a big guy like me, four is probably good, but maybe smaller guys that might hit them a little different. But.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, man, I can tell you so many stories with this particular beer, especially on the Fruity Thursdays. I'm just trying to work. And then I sip on the beer on my shifts, but then sometimes I'm like, oh crap, I just got slapped in the face. And I'm trying to figure it out. I was like, and then my bartenders will be like, dude, that's like your fifth or sixth one.
Yeah.
Like, oh man.
That's crazy. It definitely could hit you for sure. But for a West Coast, it's really nice. Got nice lacing on the glass there from the head. So what type of hops are you using in here?
You know, that's going to be more of a Dean question.
Okay.
All right. So
Dean brewed this beer.
Yeah, Dean, yeah, that's more of a Dean question on that one. Okay.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I slowly stepped out of everything.
I have my suspicions, but we'll, yeah. We'll find out.
Yeah. Honestly, this last, we brought on Dean about 3 months ago.
Okay.
And ever since, you know, he's came on with everything, I just kind of been stepping
let
back.
Him, let him have a go at it.
Yeah. I'm trusting him with all the other stuff these days. I have my own things that I'm doing with on the front end now. So right. It's just like, oh, dude, it's a lot to balance.
Yeah.
that's the one thing I've noticed with the brewery, which has been a little different from the prior businesses. We're trying to like split up the departments here.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm kind of like looking at it as like three businesses in one. You have your brewing. So you have your, you know, your production, then you have your front of the house, and then you have your distribution.
Yeah.
When I was trying to do all of it, it was just too much.
It is.
And I was starting to go a little crazy. So then when you brought on Dean, I was like, hey, I trust you to do what you're doing back there. As long as I know you were making the best call to your judgment, as long as it wasn't like a flat out like neglectful,
he's not making like Fruit Loops and Skittle beers back there.
Yeah. So, that's where I've been trying to slowly step away from that. At the moment, trying to focus more on the marketing and making sure the team is happy here up front. And
that's good. Actually, that's a testament to your business that you've gotten the business to where that was almost not manageable to do all three yourself, and now you've had to bring on a brewer and focus on the front of the house stuff and the marketing. And, that's a good sign that it's an upward trend. And
it takes a lot to admit. If I can be honest with you, so one of our friends, he has a place, a restaurant called Ahi Poki.
Okay.
And it's like 45 chains, but he's always talking about there's like a you have to separate the departments on it. And I was going crazy for a good solid,
I'll bet,
time. So then right now I'm just like trying to step back, and I'm just letting the team take care of it. Just keep me in touch with it. But I'm just trying to make sure that I'm not making bad decisions because I have too much on my plate.
totally understand that. So where did you find Dean from?
He actually came from another brewery. He was looking for an opportunity more full time.
Yeah.
It was only limited hours that he had.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, we have the opportunity here. Come right on. And yeah, he's been awesome. He's organized the back a lot more.
Yeah.
Although it's a little messy because we just got done brewing right now, but everything's been a lot more organized. He knows that, hey, like how to make a production forecast. Like, hey, if I'm going to brew this day, I need this in for here.
Yeah.
I'll just go pick it up, but he'll like get everything organized for me. So
that's cool.
Pretty cool guy, man. Super awesome guy.
Wow. Glad to hear you got somebody good back there. And so far, got some good beers that I'm sipping on. So sounds like you made the right decision.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's got the guy actually takes a lot of pride in his work, man. So that's what I love about it. He's like, hey, no, we can't release this yet. This is what we got to do. And he's very on top of it.
That's good. That's good.
Not just that, but reliable too. I just can't tell him too much because then he'll know. Right. Like, hey, where's the raise?
So good job on this, this IPA. And you said you did this with another brewery.
Yes.
What brewery?
So there's in Vista, there's a, brewery called Booze Brothers.
Booze Brothers. Okay.
Yeah.
Heard of them.
Yeah. So like, really cool people. If you guys are ever out in Vista, go ahead and, visit them out there.
Awesome.
Really cool people. They're expanding pretty quick actually. So
good.
They just got picked up by Carl Straws like a little over, I think like 8 months ago. So they're really expanding right now.
Awesome. We wish nothing but success to all the local breweries. I know times were tough during COVID, and it's good to see breweries making growth and everything coming back and stuff like that. So shout out to Booze Brothers and Vista. That's awesome.
Yeah, really cool people. They're actually just bought the building that they're in right now too. So they're I think they're expanding even more.
Yeah,
they're doing really good.
That's awesome. Good to hear.
Yeah.
So this IPA, how's it doing here in the tap room? How do people here in Paris like it?
Yeah, so surprisingly, yes, it's been taking off. It's really been taking off right now.
Good.
What's it called? In the beginning, we couldn't even like really sell any IPAs for like the first like 3 months.
Yeah.
And now people are loving it, like, you know, little by little. They're taste, their palate's been changing. So
that's awesome. That's something that a testament to yourself and your business is coming here to, you know, here in Paris and bringing the locals in and getting them to, you know, move straight, not say stray away from 951 or something similar, but to, you know, expand their, like you say, their palates and stuff like that and move into the IPAs. It's really, really cool. You know, here in Paris, you know, there's a large Latino community, and it's nice to see in craft beer the diversity that has changed over the years, because, you know, it's a kind of an ongoing joke, like the white guy with the man bun and the beard is like your typical craft beer drinker. And now I feel like, you know, over the years, that's definitely changed. You know, obviously I have several friends, you know, of different walks of life and backgrounds and races. And I would say 99% of them are all into craft beer now. I still have a couple stubborn ones that are
that don't want to take the jump yet.
either they're just not beer drinkers in general, and they're more like hard liquor drinkers, or they haven't found that one beer. My favorite experience, my favorite story, I'll tell you. So my sister-in-law, she's Latina, and she loves Budweiser, or loved Budweiser. And it took me a damn, and I've been doing this for the podcast for a long time, and even before that was into craft beer. It took me so long to get her to drink craft beer. And finally, I got her, and unfortunately the brewery is no longer in business. It was down in Vista. But and I found similar beers that she drinks, and she's had a few here and there, but it was called a White Walker L after Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And she drank it, and I knew she wasn't BSing me because she wanted another one. And she's like, yeah, this is really good. I'm like, finally, it finally happened. I mean, I'm talking like a decade of me trying to push craft beer on her. And so it's really cool because, you know, this is what I love about the craft beer community is how amazing it is and how people are to each other. And I think it's great to see the diversity in the tap rooms and see all the different walks of life and different stories. And it's just really cool. So kudos to you for bringing it here to Paris.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that? My cousin, when we used to homebrew, his dad is really into Bud Light. Mm-hmm. Right. I never talk bad about any beer. Like, I like beer, you know, so it is what it is. So he... For the longest time, when we would bring an IPA for him to taste it, or a porter or a stout, he was like, oh, this is nasty, right? Or it's like, oh, this is strong.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed during the garage times was that as new styles were being, like, as we were making, like, new styles, although he didn't like the beer, he was like, hey, like, I don't, you know, I'm not into this type of beer, but this is, like, for what it is, this is good.
Right.
Yeah. And then still to this day, I can't... I don't stop. I mean, you come and visit, and he has his, you know, Bud Light. He always let us brew for free out of the garage. So I'm like, hey, but he was like, hey, but you know, I'll have that. I'll have a half cup of that at least. You know, I couldn't get him away from Bud Light for years. Yeah. he's still solid on it.
That's awesome. It's funny. I have a similar story. So my wife's grandfather, who is about as America as they come, like this dude is like Coors Light. Probably if you cut his arm open, you're not getting blood, you're getting Coors Light. The Rocky Mountains are pouring out of this man's arms.
That's a good beer, man.
And so he would always give myself and my Uncle Craig, who has his brewery going back in Branson, Missouri now, and he always would give us a hard time. You boys in that damn craft beer, you know?
Yeah.
And I've told this story before on the show, but I'll tell you so you can hear it.
Yeah.
So when my wife was... pregnant with my son, we had a baby shower, and Josh, he made a special batch of his Hopa, which was a honey orange pale ale, one of my favorite beers that he would make, to bring to the, baby shower. So he brought a keg to the baby shower. So then I didn't have to buy beer for everybody. And, my wife's grandpa, he was watching everybody drinking it, and we still had a case of Coors in the fridge for him. And at one point he was like, so what kind of beer is it? And we told him, and he just kind of looked at us kind of funny, and we're like, it's here. You want to at least try it? And I just remember Josh giving him some, and the look on his face was truly genuine. He was like, that's actually damn good beer.
Yeah.
And the rest of the party, he drank. And I think he outdrank all of us. He just kept, I'll take with another one. Take another one. Yeah. And it was, you know, Honey Orange Pale Ale is definitely way different than Coors Light.
Yeah.
But he really enjoyed it. And I remember Josh, because Josh was such a humble, humble person. I was like, Josh, of any of the accolades you've ever received, because he multi-time award-winning, you know, in the homebrewing side. I was like, any accolades, like, this is probably the best one you'll ever receive. This guy right here won't drink anything but Coors Light his whole entire life.
Yeah.
And he just, like, practically drank the whole keg right now. Like, that should tell you something.
How was his hangover the next day for the first time?
I don't know. But he really enjoyed it. And that was really cool. And then to this day, I think it's one of the few times I've ever seen him drink anything other than his Coors Light. And so that was really cool to see, you know, people like that or you know, people from the Latino community come in here and say, let me get an IPA. That's like, wow, that's awesome.
Dude.
Just really, really cool. So kudos to you for, you know, bringing it here.
So another funny story. So actually my mom, we actually pay her to do all the cleaning here. You know, I trust her the most, like even than like more than the regular professional services. Right. And with her at first, like she wasn't like really like a big, you know, I mean, she's not like a big drinker, you know, but she, you know, comes like from like super like religious and everything.
Right.
And then when she comes in every morning, I'm like, hey mom, try this new one. And she's like, oh yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Give me a full pour. He's like, what is that? Oh, that's a aged stout or that's a, oh yeah, yeah, I'll drink that. You know? And I'm just like, oh wow. And that, it was amazing seeing her, being able to develop her taste palette without like purposely doing it.
Right.
It just happened. Yeah. It's so weird.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So this is really good. What else would you like us to sample on?
Yeah, man. Let me give you, let me see here. Let's do the amber. We just redid the amber.
Okay.
I know we talked earlier, we need a few tweaks on it, but hey, let's see what you get from it.
I like that. And it's a good segue because we can start talking about, well, we'll talk about the beer amber, but something that the beer wife doesn't like talking about is herself. So we discovered that both of our wives are named Amber, and he named this beer after his wife. Yes, it's called Cranky Amber. So shout out to the beer wife, because I think this beer was actually made for you as well, the Cranky Amber. I love you.
Oh, cheers.
Yeah, cheers. So there's the Cranky Amber. So I was just telling the listeners how both of us have wives named Amber, and this was named after your wife. And so I know my wife's going to hear this, and I told her, I was like, hey, I think this beer is made for you too.
Yeah, you know what's funny? At first, a few of the breweries that we know down in San Diego, they're like, man, you're about to get your butt kicked.
Absolutely.
For that.
Yeah.
And then the thing with my wife, Amber, she was where she embraced it.
Okay.
She's like, yeah, I am cranky sometimes. Not all the time, but she just runs with it.
Yeah. I can tell you right now, my wife has her moments.
Yeah.
I love her to death, but she definitely has her moments. And then she'll tell me, well, I wouldn't be so cranky if you would just do things right. Or those are some of the statements made by the beer wife. They're just.
Yeah. You know what? Sometimes, we can drive them crazy, so I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm pretty sure sometimes we're pretty frustrated too.
Right.
And they got to put up with us.
You know, I can say that it's hard for me to complain about the crazy level of my wife, because I knew she was crazy when we were dating, and so I got myself into it. You know, I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm like the Joker. I like a little chaos in the world, you know, but I still love her to death, and it's really cool that you were able to name a beer after her.
Yeah, it was funny. My sister used to work here, and she was like, "Oh, you named the beer after Amber," and then I was like, "Well, no, that's the style with it." But the first part, I named after her.
Yeah.
So you'll probably see her walk through those doors in a bit, and then she'll beat my ass.
Right?
That's what it is.
Right?
Yeah. But the cool thing with Amber though. So she actually went to brewing school too. She helps out in the back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but she tries. Dean takes the lead. She's kind of, she'll do like things more like the little things. But there's a place called, I forget the name of the school. It's called the, Mira Mesa College. They have a MCC Brewtech, I believe is the name of the school. It's gotten so many awards.
Oh, MiraCosta?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, Mike, shout out to Mike. He helped us, for a bit. He's the head brewer and owner of Culver Beer Company.
Mm-hmm.
He's the, teacher, there. And man, there's so much knowledge over there that
awesome
you'll get from that school. And it's only, I mean, if you think about it as an investment towards your future, if you're trying to get into the industry, it's $4,000 for the course.
Yeah.
But it's, it takes a different, it gives you a little bit more knowledge, because obviously there's home brewing, but then there's different chemicals in the commercial side. And then,
yeah, and learning how to upscale from a 5 gallon batch to however many barrels you're going to be making. So it's a little bit different. Yeah.
Yeah. And the basics, I mean, from home brewing to commercial, a lot of the basics are still the same, sanitation and everything, but there's just little tweaks that, you have to dial in. And, yeah, it's not going to get you a head brewer position from the beginning, but it's going to at least get your foot in the door.
Right.
And, yeah, Danny, actually, it's funny, the guy who helped us design the porter, he started as a student, and now he's one of three brewers at Black Plague now, and he only took the course like 2 years ago. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. A really good course if you want to get into the brewing side
awesome.
For breweries.
Awesome. That's really cool that she's into that. I love, you're traditionally, you know, we'll flash forward in the craft beer industry, you know, like we talked about the man buns and neck beards from yesteryear when you walked into a brewery. And then when you always, you know, in the back, like very unheard of to see females brewing. And now there's so many and it's really cool. And we've talked about it on the show before, how awesome it is to have female brewers, because, you know, I always think that like when it comes to cooking, like, you know, guys can cook too, but yeah. Man, my wife, like when she gets in there and she'll complain about, you know, like, oh, you know, I don't like cooking, but no matter what it is, it's good. Like they just, they take that little extra special attention to detail that sometimes us guys tend to miss. And they're just, and also too, for anybody that's married knows that females are very competitive and very super. like, yeah. So they're going to dial in their beer, and it's really great to have, you know, females in the brewing industry, not just in the front of the house, but in the back of the house. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think like the really awesome touch that a female, brewer or assistant, actually brings to the brewery itself is, you know, when I was brewing in the garage, it's just like, all right, that's dirty, or here's some star sand. Like, just, you know, just keep it simple with them. Like, no, like everything has to be like in the
perfect.
Back. Perfect.
Lined up exactly a certain way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, have you ever, like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this with your wife, but like for me, like if my wife's asking me to help out with some of the stuff, I'll start doing dishes.
Yeah.
And within a minute, she's telling me I'm not doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you're using too much water. And I'm like, well, what is Gavin Newsom going to come kicking down my door? Cause I'm using too much water. Like what's the problem? Or no, you're not, you that's not how you scrub the bottle. You got to do it this way. And it's like, you know, so they're very, very meticulous about how they do things. So that's really, really cool.
Oh, they do it right. Even to this day, Amber in the front of the house, I think a lot of times, I think I have everything dialed in. And she's like, no, like you're like, hey, you need to say this, you need to take care of that. And I'm like, oh damn, I thought I was doing a good job already, but it's not, they're not doing it, just to do it. They're doing it to help you improve. So
that
was one thing with Amber, when we got together, I was kind of more, a little bit more on the wild side. And then with her, she's like, hey, like, no, like, you know, get your shit together, you know, like this. Like, oh, no, I don't know if the cussing might match.
No, you're good. You're good. We are rated for drinking age. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's
but
okay.
Yeah, but she came in. She was just like, hey, this is what you got to do. Like, you got to fix this. You got to fix that. And then I really think without her, I would kind of be in a whole different situation. Even to this day right now, I'm still getting refined.
Yeah.
But she's very boom, 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 you know, and I'm very like, let's just run with it. So like the best way to say it is like, I'm the idea guy. And she's like, all right, that's a great idea, but how are you going to execute it? You know? And so it's a good balance.
That's good that you guys can work together. My wife and I, You know, we talked, you know, one day I'd like to have a brewery as well. And she'd probably be a part of it. But I just remember back in the day when her and I were in the restaurant industry together, it was one of those competitive things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she was, you know, she would like to say that she was better than me all the time, right?
Nothing wrong with that, man. Yeah.
It's okay. Maybe, maybe she was, but I won't let her know that.
You can't ever let her know that. That's what's funny. Amber and I worked at Starbucks. We went to high school together, but we never really knew each other. And then after high school, we met at Starbucks. But man, she was always competitive there, dude. It was just like, gosh, like, calm down. This isn't a competition. Like, right? I don't care how many Frappuccinos you're busting out, dude. Like, knock it off.
Yeah. That's awesome. So that's good that you guys work well together and have a successful business together.
Yeah. Successful-ish.
Successful-ish.
Ish. No, we're not right.
It's
not
on the trajectory, right?
As long as the lights can stay on, we're fine.
That's right. But yeah, I mean, you're keeping the people here in Paris happy. So, and then now we're broadcasting that you need to come visit you. So hopefully that will bring you some business and, continued growth where you're at. I mean, you're on that right path. So that's good.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. We're just, like I said, right now trying to dial it in.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get everything just more organized at the moment. Learning when to step away and then trusting someone else. Like, that's been honestly the biggest, the biggest hurdle at the moment.
it's hard too when it's your baby to be like, okay, I've been doing this. I mean, overworked and underpaid is probably a good term for it. But then you're like, okay, here, I need you to do what I was doing, but I need to not be able to be here. I gotta be over here. So that's probably really hard to relinquish it to somebody else. But the beer tastes good.
So. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I know. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's kind of one of the things that's kind of weird at the moment is when I think that the part from the owner part is certain things when there's a problem, like your intuition, like you just naturally just go and you fix it, right?
Yeah.
And then a lot of times I assume that we all have the same thinking. And right. I've been noticing like because the leadership thing, even though I've been self-employed for a while, like for the team this big, it's been my first time doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm working on like communication at the moment. Like I really suck at it.
It's hard to go from when the only person to communicate with is yourself to a team.
Yeah.
So definitely can see that, but
yeah,
I'm sure you'll get it dialed in and everything. I mean, like I said, this place seems pretty popular for the locals and bringing people in from, you know, all over is kind of the next step. And then obviously distribution's something that is down the pipeline for you, to grow your business.
Yeah.
Cause that definitely will kick it up a notch. One thing that's, I always thought was cool, and a goal of mine eventually one day we'll knock on wood, right? That I can accomplish it.
That's concrete.
Concrete. Yeah, we'll knock on concrete. Is when you see someone in, say, Japan drinking your beer and putting it on Untappd.
Yeah.
I just think as a brewer or as an owner of a brewery, that's got to be one of the coolest feelings in the world.
Oh, dude. So I actually still think about that. Our good friends, they're still really good friends, Safe House. They're in Moreno Valley. If you haven't visited them, I believe they have like up to like 30 beers on tap.
Wow.
Yeah. They're the ones who gave us our first opportunity.
Yeah.
And they didn't have Untappd at the time. They do now, but they had the chalkboard. And I remember I still look up to them a lot. And then I remember going and I saw the beer there. And I'm not new to creating products, but it was weird, like going to a, normally when I would make products, it would be more like internet sales versus going to a local place that you like. It was just like, wow, like they're, even Sonora Grill, they picked us up. And I remember, when I, had the gym, I would go to Sonora Grill to celebrate. I still remember clearly one time, I had made this like crazy, like, sale for my vitamin company and I went there right before Vegas and I was like, all right, this is like the spot where I'm going to party at. Yeah. Right. And then, going there and then seeing your beer actually there to a place where people have a high regard for it in the community. I was just like, oh crap, like this is like, you know, this is awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah. Senor Grill is, and I've been following them on Instagram for so long. Like, I think the first time I saw them was they had like an advertisement, cause they had like the bacon wrapped, carne asada burrito. And I was like, or no, it was bacon wrapped chili rano burrito. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then when we worked on the ambulance in, Moreno Valley, where I started on the 911 side, I remember one of the EMTs there, he was like, have you ever had Senor Grill? I'm like, no. He's like, go there and order a hot dog, please. Just do it.
Yeah.
And I just remember ordering, he told me what to order. It was like the big Senor and hot dog.
Yeah.
And I remember they brought it out and I remember how heavy it was.
Yeah.
I hadn't opened it yet. And I just, I'm like, this thing's heavy. What the hell's in here? Opened it up. I'm like, oh my God, look at this thing.
Yeah.
And I was sold from then. And it's actually been a minute since I've been over there. I've been meaning to get over there, but how cool is that to see walk into a place that you actually already liked and you've been there before, and then now you can see Good Day Brew Co. up there.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, Senor Grill, honestly, they're that was, and Safe House was a giant milestone for us, and not just that, but like I'm getting a little off track, just rambling on, but like they're just really good people in general.
Yeah,
you know, Senor Grill, Rudy, Rosie, and then Ray is the son, and whenever we run into like issues or things that we're going up with, I'll call him and, he was like, hey, maybe you should try it. Like, you know, try this, you know, cause I don't come from a, restaurant storefront background.
Right.
I'm more like, you know, once we people sign up for the gym, like they got built on the first, you know? it was just a completely different, industry. And then, you know, Ricky and Chris also from Safe House are like, hey, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
And so, nobody really hides knowledge. They're actually there to help you. Even I think I was telling you about Rob from Mason Jar.
Right.
Same thing too. I've never met him face to face at that time. Especially, I haven't met Rob face to face actually, but I talked to him on the phone.
Yeah.
And he'll just give me his knowledge, and then his son Carl, and then Mike from Culver, and you have Dave from Booze Brothers. Like they're just an open book. They want you to succeed.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're really cool people.
Awesome. There's that's one thing we were talking about, how great the craft beer industry is, and that's why I love to see all the different walks of life now here in the craft beer industry. How they help each other out. It used to be, you know, when we go back to the days of what was known of craft beer, where you open your brewery and there's a brewery across the street and you guys hated each other. You know, you wouldn't help each other out. Yeah. You wouldn't help each other out. And, you know, that was one of those things where it was the norm. And then you flash forward to now, you know, I think a lot of the times during, like, say, the pandemic and all that kind of stuff, where breweries really came together to help each other out, to help get through and weather the storm. And I think that's really an amazing opportunity to see the growth in the industry, having all these breweries come together and say, hey, you know, what are you doing? Oh, well, we're doing this. And, man, I'm really, really, really short on grain. And, you know, oh, I just ordered a bunch of that. I'll let you borrow some. And then when you order, you can pay me back. It's just cool to see the breweries helping each other out that way. And then during COVID, you know, one thing that was kind of rare, which was collaborations. And now it's huge, and it's breweries helping each other out. I mean, I'm seeing huge name breweries collab with some of the little guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even in Vista, for example, like Culver and Booze Brothers, they buy you know, so you have like your yeast dumps and stuff like that. Like Pizza Port helps out the little breweries and like, hey, like we'll sell it to you for like pennies to the dollar.
Right.
And then you'll have Booze Brothers, who has a giant grain silo, and then like a lot of the breweries go over there to buy it so that everybody can save money. So, and then you have like Chad from Grey Wolf. Have you ever been to Norco, Chad Grey Wolf?
No, I talked to him on Facebook, but we're going to do a show with them at some point. But
yeah. So Chad's one of the coolest guys I've ever met. one time we were brewing and they actually it was for the 951 and we use CTZ for both the amber and the 951. And I realized like, oh crap, we're short. And then I called Chad. I was like, hey dude, I can't get this and I'm already brewing and it's like 3 days before they ship it over. He's like, dude, yeah, I got like 11 pounds. Come grab it and just shoot me some cash. And I'm just like, all right, cool. You know, but everybody just helps each other out.
Yeah. And that's what's really cool to see in the industry, because that was unheard of before. It really was. I mean, it was like, let's say a brewery opened down there off of Nuevo and Paris Boulevard. You know, if it was the old days, you'd be angry, you know. And then, but now it's like you kind of complement each other and you help each other out. And then you do collabs with each other and, schedule special events together, go to Brewfest together, stuff like that. And it's just really cool to see, because I've seen brand new breweries take off because some big brewery said, hey, let's do a collab together.
Yeah.
And this brewery was unheard of because they've only been open for 3 or 4 months. And then next thing you know, now everybody knows it because, you know, this big brewery did a collab with
them.
So it's really cool to see the industry's changed so much.
Yeah. And here's the reality of it. We're not trying to paint the picture pretty. We're not trying to make a pretty picture, but I mean, we have our arguments at times.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like a marriage.
Yeah.
There's sometimes we're like pissed off at each other, but at the end of the day, we know we need each other. So, yeah. like any other relationship.
Absolutely.
So, a lot of times we're like, fuck you. And then sometimes I'll be like, hey bro, I'm sorry, man. Like, forgive me for what I said, but here, let me help you with this.
Right. So, as far as Good Day Brew Co., what do you have planned for the future? What are some of the goals or some things that the listeners can expect, or for some of your patrons that'll listen to this episode, what can they expect from Good Day Brew Co.?
Yeah. So, at the moment, what we are, I was just down in Oceanside yesterday. We're actually looking at a food truck.
Nice.
So, we're trying to do it more like, if you've ever been a Hangar 24, you have your food truck and then you have your tap room.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things we're trying to bring in within the next, 2 weeks.
Okay.
As far as, expansion, we're still kind of like up in the air. I can't promise anything yet. Our lease is up in this building at the end of the year, so if we can't buy the building, then we're gonna have to move. One, they're giving us an option to re-sign, but we have to deal with more like financially better for the company at the moment. If it is that we do end up staying, then we're gonna end up blowing this whole back wall out so you can actually walk to the brewery. Nice. Part of it. That's one of them. And then the other thing that we're trying to focus on is distribution.
Yeah.
I actually had to pull out of distribution about 2 months ago because the Foodie Thursday nights that you mentioned, they get really busy.
Yeah.
So we didn't have enough beer to keep up with distribution and
the
tap room. So right now we're trying to get these 10 barrel tanks up and running. Fully, we have all the equipment. We just have to get those big ones up and running in order to keep up with everything.
Yeah. Let me know if you need help on the distribution side. I know a few people.
So. Yeah. All right. That'll be awesome, man. Yeah.
One shout out to Hardyhood Distribution.
Nice.
Huge distribution company. Great people. And they bring in a lot of cool beers here to Southern California, as well as get them out to the masses throughout California. So, Hardyhood.
Nice. Where are they out of?
Los Angeles.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Right on.
So, it'll be cool once you get ramped up and start, making more beer. And a lot of people think, well, it should be easy, but it's not. There's a process that most people don't know about, because when you have a tap room, not only do you have to take care of your people that come into the tap room, but then if you're in distro, now you have to make a mass amount of beers because that's got to go out to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people don't realize that it's not just the easy thing. So, but I'm glad to hear that you're on the right track and the stoke for the food truck. Is there going to be a specific type of menu that you're going to work with or?
So Rulli's, my advisor for him, he's been helping me design it. It seems like it's all over the place, but, it's going to be, anywhere from lunch burritos. And then we have the flatbread pizzas, which we already offer. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to have, I believe it was loaded nachos. I'm trying to convince my partner that's coming on to do pokey nachos, but everybody's always scared to mess with pokey. I really like pokey nachos. Oh, dude,
pokey's my jam. That's a tough one because, no, I get you on that, like, because it's so good. But then, like, I also get, like, where, like, my wife won't touch pokey. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, so
yeah.
It's one of those fine things where it's a niche product, I think. But damn, so good.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing where... you know, I guess once, like, from like the time you cut it to the time you serve it, it's only 4 hours, right? So yeah. Like, you know, if you cut a bunch of it and then let's say you have a slow day, then yeah. that's another now thing, another department.
Right.
Where so, they're going back to that.
Now, and then you said something about burritos. You had me at that because
yeah,
as you can see, I am a burrito connoisseur.
Nice.
I grew up in San Diego, so burritos are very serious to me. In fact, there's a Facebook group called Can't Compete Homie. Shout out to those guys. It's a burrito website.
Oh.
Or a burrito group. And it's one of those things. So if you're gonna do burritos, you have to do me a solid. You have to have at least a San Diego style burrito because
what is that, if you don't mind me asking?
So all right. This is what happened to me. So I grew up in San Diego, so I just know what I know. And San Diego is obviously probably, in my opinion, the mecca for Mexican food.
Yeah.
And their burritos, if you go to any taco shop in San Diego and you order a carne asada burrito, that burrito is going to have carne asada,
yeah,
pico, and guac. Nothing else. When I moved up here to this area, I went into a local taco shop, ordered a carne asada burrito. And what I got was a mass amount of rice and beans,
yeah,
with a little bit of carne asada and maybe some pico.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what is this? And then I've come to find that that's more of like the LA style is,
yeah,
throw the rice and beans in there because it's a filler and you use less carne asada. And I'm like, no, you go to when you want a carne asada burrito, you want all meat in that bad boy.
Yeah.
So that's a San Diego style. And I'm telling you right now, that's a popular item. And you can find it still out here. Alberto's has infiltrated their way up here to this area.
Alberto's is San Diego?
Alberto's is a San Diego staple.
Oh, well.
Yeah. That's actually, if you want a really cool read, and you might find some podcasts on it. So it started as Roberto's. And then another family member started Alberto's, and it's like the same menu, same everything. And like for us growing up in San Diego, every street corner, it was like Starbucks. You had either Roberto's or you had Alberto's.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so I grew up on that stuff. Probably why I look the way I do, because I ate carne asada burritos and the rolled tacos. Like that was like my jam right there.
Did you ever I still haven't been to this day, but apparently in San Diego, Rudy was telling me there's a place called like Mr. Taco.
Oh yeah. I've been to Mr. Taco. Not to be confused with the Mr. Taco up in Beaumont, but there is a Mr. Taco and they make a Bolt burrito. They have like a Charger themed burrito.
Really?
Which is right up your alley. I can't believe we haven't even talked about the Chargers yet.
Yeah.
I know we're still hurting right now, but yeah. they have several Charger themed, and I don't know if they're still on the menu. I know a lot of people in San Diego are still bitter about the Chargers leaving.
Yeah. Like them better out there, dude. Yeah.
it was nice being in San Diego. Still love them though. But yeah, Mr. Taco, there's actually one not too far from my dad's place in San Marcos.
Really?
And really great food. I mean, every time I've ever gone there, no matter what I've ordered, the food's been amazing. But my favorite, and I'll shout them out, is Soyolitas. There's one in San Marcos now, a new one in San Marcos. They're all over, and they actually opened a place in Vegas now, too. But what's really cool about this is it's a husband and wife team, so you'll like that. But it's Mexican and Filipino owned. So they do some Filipino fusion with the taco shop fare. So, like, my favorite burrito there is called the Quesa Lumpia burrito.
Okay.
It is about the size of your arm. And so it's huge. And it's one big quesadilla, and then they make a burrito with it. So it's got lumpia, carne asada, French fries, rice, all the fixings. If you can eat the whole thing, you're doing really good. I haven't been able to finish one, but it is massive and it is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to try it out, man. I'm always down. Like I said, I'm always working with a few of the breweries out there. So I got to, I have to go and actually try it.
Hit up Soyolitas next time you go down to North County, San Diego. It's right off of, what is that exit where my dad's at? Nordahl. So
yeah.
78 Nordahl. And it's right across the street from the Walmart parking lot. And I mean, $12-$13 for a burrito, which is kind of normal now, which is crazy because I actually want to buy this hat. It's a play on the Make America Great.
Yeah.
But it says make carne asada burritos $5
again. Dude, I remember those days at a Cardenas. I used to go when I was like really into like the bodybuilding. I couldn't like go up and wait, so I used to buy those like two a day. And they were like $5 with like guacamole.
Their burritos were massive too.
They went down. Definitely went down. That's one thing we're trying to do here. I'm actually with the burritos when we get the food truck. Is we're trying to go back. It's not. I don't want to say it's San Diego, but have you ever had like Chronic Tacos?
Yeah,
dude, the freaking burritos, brother,
they're massive.
Freaking, and we're trying to go back to like just a huge burrito because the one thing we're trying to stay on track here is we're not a restaurant, we're a brewery.
Yeah,
and so a lot of the stuff, and even now when we get our these like daily permits to do like the food pop ups, we almost pretty much sell the food at cost.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like the whole thing
is people drinking and having a good time. And
yeah. It's just like, hey, let's, we're here for you to enjoy the beer. But if you come for lunch and you get like a big burrito, I'm pretty sure like we're trying to keep it under $7 for sure.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
That is unheard of. So you heard it here first on the Beer Dad and Brew podcast, potentially, you know, less than $10 for a massive burrito
here
in Paris. And you can enjoy some amazing beers like we're drinking right now, this Cranky Amber.
Oh yeah, yeah, we really good. Talked about that. Yeah, so we always take everything back with all the feedback, right? So then I think we just need to up the carb a little bit on this one, you said, right?
Yeah. And
then
up it just a hair, and then I think you're right on track. Just maybe adjust the carb levels and see where it comes out with that, and then go from there. But what's really good about this this amber, and I mentioned to you earlier, it's gotten a nice dryness to it. So people that this is their kind of style of beer, they're going to gravitate towards. But it's good. It's
really good. That's right now at the moment, because that's why we always appreciate the feedback. Even with the equipment that we've been working with, it's been like a year and a half. And even till this day, like I'm still trying to figure out that. Like sometimes I'm just, you know, hitting the tanks. I'm still trying to figure out the equipment because it's like, you know, when I was homebrewing, like it was a lot easier to get the carb levels, and then and not just that, but even like different little tweaks, right? And then right now, since we're still new to this, I'm still constantly with Dean back there fighting with the equipment, trying to figure out how we can master it.
Totally understandable. It's like we mentioned it earlier. It's a different animal from your 5-gallon kettle to, you know, your more of an industrial size equipment that you have. It's a totally different animal. We talked about this with Don Putt. He's the co-owner and head brewer at Idlewild Brew Pub up in the mountains up there in Idlewild.
Okay.
And he was a, you know, big time home brewer. And I remember asking him, and he was like, yeah, it was definitely a learning curve going from homebrewing to that. But he said, well, you know, once you get the math down, which that wasn't the hard part, you know, adjusting from 5 gallons to this. But just, he said, after you get it dialed in, it's much easier than homebrewing.
Yeah, that is true. I 100% agree with that. I think a lot of the learning curve for me, wasn't really more of scaling the recipes. It's more of like how to use the equipment.
Yeah.
That's commercial that I've never used. So actually, for example, one time we had a blonde that we were doing, and I think on the commercial scale, things do change a little bit. Mm-hmm. The heat exchanger I had bought from the equipment. I didn't know that you had to run the full CIP. I thought like when they sent the equipment, it was already like 100% ready to use. And dude, I think I had like 6 barrels of blonde go sour because I thought the heat exchanger was already sent clean. And you're like, no, it's not. You still have to do your. I was like, oh, I thought since this was commercial, it was already going to come like ready to use. And it was just a lot of different things. And
learning curve.
And even now with the heat exchanger, like one of the standard procedures that. After that, because I kind of feel like that's where most infections can happen is in the heat exchanger. Now we actually just leave PAA in it right before we're about to use it. So then when we knock out, then we'll run some star sand through it really quick. But we keep it there with the locks on there and just, you know, ready to go on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a few little tweaks here and there.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this hammer is really good. I can't wait to tell my wife about it.
Oh, no worries.
Crazy amber.
I know. And I remember you told me you're really into seltzers, right?
Yeah. I love seltzers.
I knew it. Yeah.
So you do offer here at Good Day Brew Co. You do have some seltzers to offer to the masses for those that aren't the beer drinkers or maybe the fitness aficionados that are looking to save a little bit of calorie content. You have some seltzers.
Yes, let me try. Have you try? I know you're not the biggest fan, but I mean, at least it's worth trying.
We'll give it a shot. I'm willing to try. I never. What do they call it? Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, or turn down a free frosty cold beverage. So we'll give it a whirl. But I was talking. To him earlier about seltzers, right? So I was like, all right, so Miguel, like, here's my thing on seltzers. It's not my favorite thing. As you guys know here on the show, we really haven't, to this day, I don't think we've really featured any seltzers. So this might be the first time that we've had a seltzer on the show. I'll have to, we've been doing this a long time. So maybe we had a seltzer. I don't know. So this might be a first on the Beer Dad and Brew podcast.
We can always edit it out. Don't worry.
That's right. So what we poured here is a nice, seltzer. So what is this called? What are we calling this?
This is the pomegranate seltzer.
Oh, pomegranate. Okay. So that actually might be okay. Cause, I love pomegranate, for a lot of reasons, obviously the health factors for it. But it balances so well with alcohol. We had some, just recently, every year, Beer Dad's tradition, we stay at a cabin in Idlewild for Christmas, and we had bought the organic pomegranate juice that you can get at Costco, big bottles of it. And I was drinking it for health factors, and we had got some vodka to make Bloody Marys. And I thought, I wonder if this would balance out the vodka. And it actually was really good. Just literally straight vodka and pomegranate, nothing else.
Yeah,
and it came out well, so this might actually be good. So let's check it out.
I believe you. Actually, this is our number one selling seltzer.
Okay, so Paris is into health. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Oh wow, that's nice. The pomegranate flavor is nice on there. Very, very different and obviously lighter. For those that have never had a seltzer, like if you were to have a seltzer side by side with a beer. You got to be careful though, because sometimes seltzers, ABVs can actually be higher than some of the beers.
Yes.
But they drink much lighter. So when you drink this, it's almost like drinking a carbonated water. But obviously it doesn't taste like water. This has the nice, pomegranate flavor and, the seltzer quality.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm not going to lie. At first I was embarrassed of making the seltzers, but I went literally 6 months before we even opened here trying to make a seltzer.
Yeah.
I kid you not, I cannot even give it away for free to my family. it was just so rancid. There's different yeast that you have to go with. It's not till recently that BSG just came out with the new yeast. And it has so I don't know, have you ever made a seltzer before?
Never.
All right, so the thing with it is just pretty much cane sugar and yeast. But what happens is that the sugar has no nutritional value.
Yeah.
So when you pitch the yeast, I didn't know this. I was trying to pitch the same amount as you would for a regular beer.
Yeah.
The yeast dies out right away.
Yeah.
So then you have to, I didn't know anything about like yeast nutrient or nothing. So then I had to talk to my friend Rob from a brewery called, Phantom L's out in Anaheim.
Oh yeah.
Really cool guy. And he was like, dude, you got to put yeast nutrient in there. And then even then once I got that dialed in, then like the flavor, it was just, it was a weird journey with it, where as embarrassing as it is to make seltzers, my whole thing was like, oh, I got to make it clear, like truly and everything, right? And then, and still to this day, there's people out there that that's what they're aiming for. I was just like, hey, I'm just going to go with what we do. And so I said, hey, if it has color, it has color.
Yeah.
But we're just going to go with whatever we have. And to this day, we have a lot of husband and wives that come where the wife doesn't or the husband doesn't like craft beer, but they'll drink a seltzer. And it's about 40% of our sales.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Yeah. I see, you know, I see the seltzer within all the different craft beer breweries. It really is, like you said, it brings people in. Yeah. It brings people in. Definitely makes people want to, you know, enjoy, like if their spouse is really into craft beer, now they're, you know, they're going to go with them and enjoy some seltzer. I could see my wife drinking this, you know, who you guys know, the beer wife is, you know, very limited on her beer choices as far as what she likes to drink in the beer world, but she would drink this. If I had to describe this to the listeners, because I know a lot of you can't see this that are listening while commuting, it's red. So it has almost looks like a Shirley Temple when you look at it. You can see the carbonation in there. And flavor-wise, when you drink it, you're initially hit with the pomegranate flavor, and then it kind of dives back into the seltzer quality. What's really cool about this seltzer, I would drink it again, which, and I'm being honest with you.
Oh, wow.
Because I told you I don't like seltzer.
I remember you told me that, yeah.
Yeah. What this reminds me of is, and I don't know, you might not be old enough to remember this. Back in the day, because everybody knows the Beer Dad's really old, there used to be a seltzer that I used to get at Fuddruckers or at Paul's Burgers, which is a San Diego staple for those of you that know Mira Mesa. It was the New York Seltzer Company, and it come in these little torpedo bottles. It was a clear seltzer, but I used to get that instead of whatever the fountain drink was. And this kind of reminds me of that. It has that fruit juicy flavor with the seltzer quality. I really don't taste a whole lot of alcohol at all. So that's what's the ABV on here?
So here's the thing. It's 5%. Ooh, yeah. You don't taste it, but I'm going to be honest with you. This is one of the ones where everybody, I swear we've done the math on it, but everybody's like, I swear it's not 5%. I was like, dude, it's 5% because you can't even taste it. Yeah. And then people like off of two, they're like, oh crap, like two of those, that's like taking a shot or something. I'm just like, But yeah, I'm just glad people are liking it.
Like I can see why. It doesn't have your traditional craft seltzer flavor. Like I said, a lot of them taste like hand sanitizer. I told you about the only one that I like, which is like a cucumber lime flavor. I love pomegranate, so that might be why I'm going on this route. But like I said, it does taste like New York Seltzer Company. If you ever have an opportunity, they brought it back. So you might be able to find some, but that's what their kind of shtick or their gimmick was trying to get people to, and it wasn't obviously no alcohol because I was a kid.
Yeah.
But they were trying to get people to stray away from regular soda and drink those. And I actually preferred them over soda as a kid. You could get grape flavored, cherry. I think watermelon was my favorite.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has that, that quality to it. Now, have you ever tried to do like slushies with this or anything like that during the summertime?
Oh yeah. During the summer, that's one of our number one selling, things. We make 7% ones.
Yeah.
Those go like really quick during the summer. What's it called? I believe there's another brewery that does it too. I've never met them, but you got to give props where it's at. I think Hamilton's does that too.
Hamilton's, yeah. Family brewery. Good brewery.
Yeah. And, it's, people during the, when it's hot, dude, you have to drink those.
Yeah. It's a little more on the refreshing side. But this one is good. So what you guys are doing, like keep it up with the seltzers, because my main complaint is that kind of heavy, like bitter, like rubbing alcohol flavor you get in seltzers.
Yeah. So, honestly, what I think maybe you may have had, because I went through the same thing when seltzers came out. So I don't know if you know, but like it wasn't like till recently where it actually became like legal for a brewery to make seltzers. Right. It was like a kind of weird category.
Yeah.
But back then, they were trying to use like regular yeast. I forget which yeast they were using, but it was a regular brewing yeast. And you had a little bit of like the residue, like a weird taste almost, where it was like kind of like wine-ish. Yeah. Like very, it was a certain way. But then the manufacturers, like for example, BSG, then they brought out, and I'm very transparent with this. If you guys want to make it at home, we use, it's called TY Pure, Type Pure, you can call it that. And it's a turbo yeast. It has everything already in it, the nutrients, everything.
Right.
It made the manufacturers, not the manufacturers, the suppliers step up their ingredients.
Okay.
Because they realized, I think, all breweries were going through this.
Yeah.
Like, issue. And as much as, and trust me, like, I love all aspects of it, but, like, for right now, as far as breweries, like, the, in order to stay afloat, usually it's the seltzers that help out the breweries right now a little bit more, because it was tough a few months ago, I think.
Yeah.
for a few breweries. So.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I kind of had to put my ego to the side, and you know, it's just like, you know what, we're in this, you know, we have, you know, a full team. As much as I would love to just make beer, I gotta, you know, take the pride. I take pride in this, of course, but I have to do what's best for the team. And if we're gonna make a seltzer, we're gonna make the best one we can, and that's kind of what we're aiming for at the moment.
Yeah. Well, you did a good job on this. You know, I heard you're probably like thinking, I was like, oh, it's terrible. Cause like I said, I don't care for seltzer, but the fact that I don't taste the rubbing alcohol, we're good to go here.
So, for sure.
You know, is it something that I would prefer over what I've had before? Nah, no.
No. Yeah.
But if I'm sitting out on a pool or the lake or whatever, and someone's like, here, drink this, it's refreshing. It has good flavor to it.
Yeah.
And it obviously has alcohol in it. So you can, you know, if you're wanting to have that like little buzz or have a good time, it's good.
Yeah. This one, I kid you not, I think it's going to actually sneak up on you more than the beer itself.
I could see it.
Sometimes I see like, you know, some women that are like 5'1", like throwing down 8, and I'm like, dude, oh, be careful with that. Make sure you're here with your friends.
I hope you have Uber and Lyft on your
We do. Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, everybody always gets here. We only let them drink that much if they come with a friend or something.
Good.
But yeah, that's how it goes. But yeah, did you want to also try the 951?
Oh, well, we have to, because that's your most popular. So
yeah,
we can do some 951 for sure. Let's see. So I've had peanut butter cup porter. Delicious. We've had the cranky amber, and we also had the Hood Day West Coast IPA. And now we're about to have the infamous 951. This is great. I have a couple friends named Juan, and I think that'd be kind of cool. Actually, the head brewer out at Babe's Brew House in the desert, shout out to him. I was just out there. He makes some really damn good beers. His name is Juan, so 95 Juan. And this, you can tell. You can totally tell why this is a popular beer. It's your crispy boy style, right? It's a blonde. It's, you know, up that lager pilsner style. Let's take a picture of it for you guys over here over the recording stuff there. Okay. Yeah. That. That's good. Oh, yeah. 951. I can see why this is popular. And not just here in Paris, but just anywhere in general, you'd really enjoy this beer for the masses. So if you can get your hands on some Good Day Brew Co., 951 is very crispy, true to style, blonde ale, very, very good. Lots of carbonation. It has that refreshing factor to it. It has that, I like to call it the dad's beer experience.
Here's the Michelada version.
Oh, wow. So we're getting two versions here. We got 951, and we have it kicked up a notch with the Michelada style. How are Micheladas popular here in Paris?
They're pretty popular over here. I've never been, like, the biggest fan of, like, Micheladas, but Sonora Grill, they actually helped us with the rim.
Okay.
And then once I started making that, I was like, all right, I'll drink it.
Yeah.
They're pretty popular out here, though.
Every people that listen to the show, they know the Beer Dad loves micheladas.
And oh, I didn't know that.
It was kind of a natural progression for me because I loved Bloody Marys. It's kind of like my – I'm kind of funny. When I go on vacation, if I'm getting on an airplane, I have to have a Bloody Mary at the airport. It's like standard. I might have one on the airplane. And then while on vacation, that's my breakfast is Bloody Mary. I don't need the eggs. I don't need anything else. I need a Bloody Mary. Like I said, mentioned up at the cabin, we had Bloody Marys up there. And so it was kind of a natural progression because the first time I heard about micheladas, I was like, you're doing what to the beer?
Like, yeah, what, yeah.
What's going on here? And then one day, I think I had my very first one, and I was like, wow, this is good. And of course, I mentioned them earlier, Muñeca's Micheladas. Ceci and Hugo, the owners, the Craft Lounge carries their products. And I actually had Ceci on one of our Mother's Day episodes because she's a mom and I wanted to spotlight moms and the people in the beer industry. And, it's something where it's a different experience, obviously, than just drinking straight beer, but, I just love it. I love the spices. I love the flavors. I love the rims, all the different things that they do. And, this, I'm excited to try this too. So
yeah, give it a shot, man. Cheers.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
I can see why it's popular for sure.
Yeah, Sonora Grill definitely helped us with that. Their whole thing is like food and taste, and we're gonna give them the credit where it's due. So.
Yeah, everything that they have there is ridiculous. One thing that I haven't had yet, I don't know if you've had it yet. And I keep getting tempted by their Instagram is their buffalo wings. They look good.
They have a weird one that's like a peanut butter jelly.
Yes,
wing,
yes.
But it's good.
Is it good?
Okay. Yeah, it sounds so.
That'd be a good pairing with your peanut butter porter here.
Yeah. It's their stuff is really good. But yeah, the thing that's funny with this is not gonna lie, I'm not a michelada guy. But one of the things that really, when he was advising us, he was saying, like, hey, like, listen to your demographic, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought at first, I was like, man, I'm not going to offer michelada. I was like, people are going to talk shit. You know, like, a brewery, like, making their beer into a michelada. And the customers were asking for it. So then I started making it. And then, it just took off on its own. So that's kind of been the theme here at Good Day. It's been more of let the customers tell you what they want.
Yeah.
You're not telling the customers what they want.
It's what's really cool, and some of the breweries that haven't adopted it, so if you're listening, because I know a lot of breweries listen to the show, it's a nice little, I don't know what you want to call it. We used to call this back in the day when I used to manage Wendy's restaurants. It's like upsells, like, you know, hey, yeah, you want number 5? Can I biggie size that, right? Mm-hmm. And it's something for a brewery where you can be like, okay, would you like to make that a michelada for, you know, an extra buck or two, or like depending on what you're doing to it? And then also, and then for another additional charge, would you like me to rim it too?
Yeah. Rim job for $1.
That's right. Yeah,
no. Where else can you get a rim job for $1?
Exactly. It's the only place where that's allowed, and it's legal.
Only in Paris.
Right? Paris.
Yeah. No, but yeah, you are right about that. We're just going with it, and it ended up catching. And
yeah,
one of the things I've been like letting the team know is observe what the customer wants. Mm-hmm. And that's what we roll with. I'm keeping it like real with you. Like on Thursdays, like although I'm Mexican, like I grew up playing like Spanish rock.
Yeah.
But a lot of the demographic likes more of like the, on Thursdays, they like more of the, like mariachi, like that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. then I was like, you just provide it. Right. So yeah. If it were up to me, I'd play country like I love country.
Really?
but I would play it every day of the week, but it's not what the demographic wants.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think if there's one thing, we've had a few breweries reach out to us for consultation. If there's one thing I could say is, always listen to your customer. They're not always going to want what you want,
yeah.
But try to provide for them, what they want, staying as close as you can to what your values are on it. It's a weird one.
Yeah, I talked about this before with brewers and stuff like that, and I take this into consideration for if I ever open my own spot is, you know, obviously you're going to make what you're passionate about and stuff like that, but you also have to appeal to your demographic if you want to be successful.
Yeah.
And so you know what's coming in the building, what's selling. Obviously your 951 is your most popular beer. I can see why. I mean, it's that this is the beer that I'm going to go sit out in my back patio and drink out by the pool, and I'm going to go do yard work, or I'm going to, hang out, cousins and family are coming over and we're having to get together, and we're going to sit here and drink an 18 pack or something like that. That's the beer. But you want to pay attention to, other people, like say for instance, hey, this beer does really well here, but if we were in North Park down in San Diego, maybe it wouldn't, maybe it would, but I mean, you got to talk about neck beards and man buns in North Park, no offense, North Park, but they're going to look for probably more like your West Coast IPA and stuff like that. To appeal to them. And so that's why, North Park Brewing so successful with their IPAs and stuff that they make.
There's a lot of man buns over there.
Yeah, there might be. Okay. There might be.
I didn't know.
There might be. And no offense to anybody that has a man bun.
Yeah, no offense.
You do you, boo. I have the neck beard, so I can't talk on that. But I do not have a man bun. You gotta appeal to your locals, your local crowd. And I always thought, because at one point my family, we were talking about moving up to like the Boise area up in Idaho, and I thought, you'd want to make make beers that I like, which are, lagers and pilsners and German style. I really love German style pilsners. That's kind of like my favorite. What I really like is more like a Dunkelweiss, like a dark lager. I kind of go back and forth, but right now dark lager is my favorite.
Tell me you tasted Pure Project's unfiltered pilsner.
Yes, I had that. Yeah.
That thing is freaking amazing, dude. I don't know them at all, but that thing is really freaking good.
Pure Project is one of my favorite breweries, and in fact, our sponsors, the Craft Lounge, Beaumont, California, just north of the 10 Freeway. What's up, Jimmy? They carry Pure Project very proudly, and every December, if you look, and it's not too far for you, they do a tap takeover at the Craft Lounge, and so you'll have Pure Project. It's usually right around my birthday, and of course, it's always when I'm planned or out of town. So they did the tap takeover on a night that we were busy this last year, so I didn't get to go. I got to go 2 years ago, right the year before the pandemic. I got to go to their tap takeover and had a laundry list of all their beers, and I love Pure Project. So
they have really freaking amazing beer, dude.
Yeah.
Hey. Remember, I was visiting, I think we went from Bergen, we went straight to Pure Project. Mm-hmm. It was my first time there, and I was like, damn, dude, even their glassware. I was like, man, one day I'm going to be able to have glassware like that. They had like gold.
The gold rims, yeah.
The gold rim. I'm like, oh gosh, that's awesome.
You can do that. It's one of those things where like, oh yeah, you can order it, but then it's like as a business owner, you're like, do I trust my people to take care of these glasses out here? Do I do that? I don't know.
That's what's hard because on Thursdays, right? And this is when you be one of those conversations where you have to like stay true to yourself. As cheesy as it sounds, we try and do glass every day, but on Thursdays it's just too hectic.
Yeah, so you switch to plastic.
So we switch to plastic on Thursdays.
It makes sense because I've seen how crowded it can get over here.
Yeah, so one of our good friends, on St. Patrick's Day, we kind of used it as like a comparison.
Mm-hmm.
He has a really big operation in Riverside. I think he'd want to stay more private about it, but during St. Patrick's Day, he did about maybe only 40% of our sales, but because they were washing so many dishes, right? And I think it's one of those things where like although I know some people were upset we had switched over to plastic, it's just like, well, what more can we really do? We're trying to get we have to get the beer out, and it's a very weird one where I think where I'm learning in this brewing industry, I'm just trying to stick like more to myself. Even if you notice, like we have like quite a few TVs compared to most breweries.
Yeah,
I'm really into sports. I love the Chargers. not a Lakers fan anymore, but I was at a point.
I don't like the Lakers. You can do that.
Yeah, but one of my biggest things was going to a brewery, and then sports were on. Sports were going on, but then like there was no TVs on.
Yeah.
And then I remember when I opened and we had the TVs, it was like, well, you know, you're a brewery. Like, why are you putting TVs? You're not a sports bar. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not a sports bar, but I'm going to put what I like. Yeah. You know, I don't have to do this copy and paste.
Yeah.
Mold.
I'll give you an example of TVs in a brewery. And you can run with it what you will. Shout out to my friends at Solaris Brewing.
Oh, they're awesome.
Chad and Skyler. Yeah. I actually hit them up about coming to co-host with me today. So it'd have been funny if they showed up.
They're cool.
They have the TV in there, and yeah, they'll play sports on there, but when it's not sports time, like this is what I love about Chad and Skyler and Liam that's there now too. You have Bob Ross doing the paintings on the TVs. You've got they'll put wrestling on, which is cool because I love some wrestling. So some Monday Night Raw or some SmackDown or something like that. So you know, there's a variety. It's not just sports, you know, because some, like you say, some people complain, why is there sports on the TV? But you know, it's your business, and I think that it's viable. I mean, you know, Sundays you got football. You got when the baseball season comes back. You can have, you know, night baseball games and stuff like that. So yeah, a lot of fun. And it's, I think it's, it adds that element because there's the people that don't watch sports. They don't need to, they won't look at the TV. Mm-hmm. They're busy doing other things. Got some nice places to sit in here. It looks like you got like a fire pit over here.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a random one. That was after COVID. We bought that for the house, and then, it gets cold inside a warehouse, so we're like, all right, let's put this fireplace on.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. So I could see, and then you were talking about, you know, with the plastic cups, you know, with people complaining, and, Jimmy up at the Craft Lounge, he does the plastic cups if you're going outside. Yeah. And it makes totally sense because, you know, as a business owner, you gotta think about like bottom lines and stuff like that. And you got people drinking in different elements, like maybe they're playing cornhole outside or something like that, where, yeah, glasses tend to break very easily when they fall to the ground, so it makes much more sense to have a plastic cup. So, and I don't have any qualms about it. Obviously, we know as being beer connoisseurs, it tastes better out of a glass.
It does.
But at the same time, it's like, hey, if you're going outside and you're doing extracurriculars, I don't know if I can trust you with this glass.
Yeah,
and let alone a gold rimmed glass.
Oh yeah. Oh no. Who is it? They had some really cool cups. So my wife, Cranky Amber, she actually did some canning over at the time we started the Goose, the canning machine. What's that place that opened in they have two locations in Redlands now?
Escape,
yeah. So she was, my wife was the one who did the canning for a bit.
Okay.
And there we would take the machine on the giant truck that we had at the time. And I thought it was really cool, because I give them props to like all the detail. They had like this etching inside the cup.
Mm-hmm.
So when like the beer hit, then all the like
carbonated, the bubbles would come up. Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that's so cool. But I was like, damn, I'm so broke. But I really pay attention to when people go above and beyond the extra mile for that stuff. That's freaking amazing, dude. Solaris too, man. If I can be honest with you, I'm saying this as an owner, I think they are probably the number one brewery in the Inland Empire.
Wow, that's awesome. So, I'll tell Chad and Skyler, you said. Yeah. Well, they'll listen to this.
Yeah.
they were guests on our show not too long ago, and they also participated, and we haven't talked about it yet, but Kunkelfest this last year, and I appreciate them for coming out to Kunkelfest, and they're just really cool guys, and if you ever listen to the episode and I always I tease them. I'm like, man, you guys need to do your own podcast. They're fun to be around. Like the two of them, they feed off of each other, and just great guys. And they make fucking good beer. So I totally agree with you. It's one of my favorite breweries. Yeah. A lot of people talk about Electric in Marietta, and I love Electric. Justin's a great brewer there, and they're right next door. But it just their vibe and everything that they have going on, and something I love about Chad and Skyler is they. they like to push the boundaries, and that's why they call it beer and blending, because they'll do all kinds of different adjuncts and stuff, but they also do very traditional beers. And I really appreciate, and something I really want to go check out, they just, I don't know if you saw it, but a new beer that they just came out with is Cask. They brought the Cask back. So Inland Wharf used to be all Cask brewery, and then the owner sold it. And I used to love going there because you don't find that very often, a Cask brewery. And so Skylar and Chad, they have a Cask beer that they just came out with, and I believe it was a Stroopwafel flavor. So I need to get down there and check that out, because that's crazy.
Yeah, no, they're awesome, man. Their beer is honestly really good. I always give props where it's at. Like, they have really good beer. Have you been to Route 30 yet?
I have not been to Route 30. I take that back. I went to Route 30 once. I did jury duty down there at the old courthouse. Yeah. And I walked around the corner and I had a pint. So technically I've had one pint at Route 30. And then I heard that they're changing, kind of, they're merging, and it's going to be a new brewery or something.
Yeah,
it's like that.
With their old location. Yeah. But yeah, their beer is freaking awesome. They're working nonstop. They have a small system just like us. And then right across from them in downtown, and shout out to Vince, there's a place called Brickwood.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been?
Been there.
Dude, Brickwood, freaking Vince, he has an awesome lineup all the time. So okay. Brickwood's a really, really cool place. And then, believe it or not, you'd be surprised, but there's a place called Donut Bar.
Yes, I know Donut Bar. Down in Temecula?
Well,
the one in Riverside?
It's the one in Riverside. Okay. So they're all separate franchises, actually. But he just changed over to... he's trying to go his own route. It's called the Urban Drip now. It was Donut Bar.
Okay.
But dude, that guy's got a bunch of really good beer on tap too, man.
Nice.
We're not even in there and I'm giving them a shout out.
Well,
you got to give props where it's at.
Urban Drip sounds like you need some 951 on your menu.
Yeah, Gilbert, listen to this podcast so you can get it in there, man. Drip, drip, drop.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, but what's it called? Another. If I can have like a sweet lineup, like if you had to choose like every Inland Empire brewing, like if you were going through a actual tour, or probably like if anyone can create a bus out there that can go from like Solaris, to Good Day to Route 30, and then to Grey Wolf, and then Storytellers, like that would be
Storytellers cool. Yeah,
I think that'd be a pretty cool little
loop.
Loop right there. It's a big loop, though.
It is. Starting almost into the San Diego County line and making your way up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. What breweries do you actually normally go out to in San Diego? I didn't realize you were from all the way out there.
Well, that's where I'm originally from. But I really enjoy. We talked about Pure Project, one of my favorites. Actually, I think my ultimate favorite is probably Harlan Brewing.
I haven't been. Where is that?
They have several locations. They have one in South Park. Their main brewery is in Scripps Ranch, which is right where I grew up, Mira Mesa area.
Yeah.
And then they have South Park. The other one, I guess, is Carmel Valley-ish, Del Mar area. But I love their beers there. Ryan, the head brewer, we just did a show with them not too long ago. But Ryan, the head brewer, he's just... very, very talented brewer and not afraid to push the envelope. And they do, Nick, the head of brewery operations, between him and Ryan, they do a lot of Pacific Islander style, nice. Beer. So they had, they do a Ube Fest every year and they make a Ube milkshake IPA and just the dumbest beer I've ever had. Like dumbest as in like a good way.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
Stupid. Like the most ridiculous flavor you've ever had. It's purple, bright purple, just like the Ube dessert. I love Harlan, and Seek Beer is a brand new brewery that opened last April. Dave Ulmer, the owner, I knew him from his days. So he came from Houston, Texas, and he was with Urban South HTX, which is a brewery we went and did a show with back when we went to Houston. And he moved out here to San Diego and started Seek Beer, and he's just such a very talented brewer and owner, and he has brewing assistants and stuff like that. And I highly recommend it. It's in North Park where the brewery Igniter's at.
Got it.
So you know where Pariah and Attitude was at?
Yeah.
He's right there.
Oh, nice. Right on.
So highly recommend that. And he was at Kunkel Fest as well.
Yeah, I think Ruler just opened in North Park too. Another location.
Which one?
Ruler. Ruler.
Okay.
Those guys are freaking amazing, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been.
Haven't been there. I know there's a brand new brewery called Goal. Yeah. Goal Brewing. Is in North Park as well. They're opening right next to Dave's spot at Seek where Attitude used to be. Yeah, there's a ton of breweries in San Diego that the Beer Dad recommends. Society, another one, very good down there in the Kearny Mesa area. Obviously, Miramar's got its little spots to go to, but tons and tons and tons of good breweries to check out down in San Diego for sure. I'm going to try a double IPA now.
And so that one's part of the Hood Day series. This one's number four. It's our Hood as Fuck.
I like that. Yeah, I see the asterisk up there. Hood as Fuck. So we have the Hood Day West Coast IPA, and then we go double up to Hood as Fuck. So yeah. If you were to make a triple IPA, I can only imagine what you'd call it.
I don't know. I don't even, if it's going to smell super dang, we'll call it like sticky icky here.
Right? There you go. I actually think with kind of your theming and obviously being a Latino-owned brewery, I'm going to hook you up. I don't know. Do you know Edgar from Beer Thug Brewing?
I don't.
I'm going to hook you up with him. He's a great dude. So he started on social media as Beer Thug Life. And he would do chugs and different thing. He became a big influencer, a huge following. Great dude. He's been on the podcast before. And it's funny because the podcast he was on with us, I told him, cause he was doing like collaboration beers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I told him, I was like, one day I hope for you, you know, you start your own brewery. Flash forward to just recently, he opened his own brewery. So,
nice.
Border X Brewery out in Bell
in
LA. He opened, so basically they...
That's him.
So not Border X, but Beer Thug Life.
Oh, okay.
Or Beer Thug Brewing is, so half of the building is Border X and the other half is Beer Thug Brewing.
Oh, wow.
So definitely highly recommend. Maybe we'll cruise out there one day and go see.
Yeah, dude, that'll be awesome, dude, because... so it's kind of like what's funny with this all is... and I know like there's like a lot of like Hispanic or... kind of like stereotype names that we're just going with, right? But it's
ain't
like
nothing wrong with that.
But here's the thing, it's one of these things where you know, growing up, the thing was like you know, TV shows at the time, there was like, let's keep it real, it was either like white or black families, yeah. Right? And so like me growing up, I'm not that old, I'm only 33, but there wasn't really like a Mexican theme until we got older, like not even till now do we have like Coco.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we're trying to do is if they're we're trying to have people embrace their culture,
yeah,
as it is, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, I've never seen like a Hispanic entrepreneur, you know, yeah, stuff like that. So there's a lot of them actually. My uncles are tons of them, but yeah. The whole thing we're going with all of this is embracing it, and rather than canceling a beer that's called 95 Juan, and you know, oh, that's, you know, it's like, no, like, dude, like, embrace it, you yeah. know, like, dude, like, you, there's something about being able to laugh about yourself that makes the world a happier place, and yeah. And so that's kind of a lot of the theme that we've been going with this all is don't take it so seriously and just run with it, you know?
Absolutely. And so, you know, for me, like, it's, you know, I mentioned earlier, it's amazing to see all different types of walks of life in the craft beer industry. And, you know, it's awesome that, you know, you have been able to bring this to Paris where they didn't have it before, and bring new walks of life into the brewing industry and get them into all these different types of craft beers. And, you know, being Latino yourself, like, I mean, that's something that's a testament to yourself. Like, hey, I started a brewery and I brought this community. It's a community brewery. It truly is. Like you said, you could walk right down to the brewery. And I mean, and that's kind of what he's doing with the Beer Thug Brewing as well, is bringing people in that were all I drink is Modelo or Budweiser or Coors or whatever the case may be, and broaden their horizons. So congratulations on doing that. And the names of the beers, like that's not an issue at all. I don't think. I really don't.
Oh, no. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, no. And like I said, following up on that with it, it's like one of the things I think we've been kind of trying to do with the community. And I know I always bring up the potato guy, the Papa Silhueto, but you know, I remember one time we got shit faced by accident like 2 months ago, and we had pop up vendors show up, and they're like, hey, like, you know, we're like so happy about, like, you know, the potato bot guy just bought a trailer cash for like 120,000, right? And then he started with just like a pop up.
Yeah.
And then they're like happy with this, but a lot of people don't know that, like, because I keep that more private except on this podcast, but they don't know, like, I had the gym back then. And one of the biggest messages we've been trying to do within the Hispanic community is you know, there's no such thing as a limit, if that makes sense. It's like a lot of the stuff is it all starts in your head, right? So like, if you think you're limited, which we're not here in the United States, but if you think you're limited, then that's as far as you're gonna go,
right?
And that's one of the things we've been trying to push here to when we let the vendors start. The whole thing with the vendors, like, we don't make any money off the vendors. So like, with the vendors, there's a fee, but that fee goes straight to the trash cans, to the sweeping, everything. It's pretty much like they're popping up for free. The whole thing is like, hey, like, we're just trying to help you get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
You know, but it's going to be up to you on how far you're going to take this, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is about helping vendors believe in themselves. And I think that's what made the event grow bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's not, you have this, like, new wave of, like, people who didn't think they could be entrepreneurs coming in. Now they feel like they can do it as well, too. And they can do it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we've been pushing here, is to push that culture.
I love that.
You know, even though I was, it's funny, is, even though I was, born here in the U.S., since I was with a single mom, I actually, I don't even know if I can put this on the podcast, but I had like a fake green card to pretend I was 18, I'm a citizen here. Yeah. And my whole thing, you know, was just like, hey, like, you know, certain situations are tougher, but it's up to your mentality on how far you're going to get. And so I'm hoping that's the impact we can have on the community, honestly.
That's awesome, man. I love that you do that, and for Foodie Night and opening it up to vendors and stuff like that, because, you know, within the Hispanic culture, there's so much amazing things that people do that maybe, you know, they sell it to their relatives or whatever. Yeah. And you would probably be, and I'm gonna hook you up with Jimmy as well at the Craft Lounge, because every year he does Hispanic Heritage Beer Fest.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
And you know, that'd be cool to go there and pour or whatever, but he does the same thing. So he'll have the Hispanic owned breweries there, and then he'll have all kinds of vendors, purse makers, you know, clothing makers, you know, specialized glassware, all that kind of different things. So a good friend of mine, Oscar, he is a social media kind of influencer. He does Down for a Pint, you know, is Latino, and he does custom glassware and stuff like that. And him and I have gotten together. He's been on the podcast before. He'll be there selling his glasses and stuff. So Jimmy just opens it up for, you know, all the different types of, street vendors for everything, foods, and he'll have like a couple, you know, a taco guy, a hot dog guy, like all these different things. And it's really cool. I missed this year's Hispanic Heritage Beer Fest. I was at last year's Hispanic Heritage Beer Fest, and it was just really cool to see all the different vendors come together, and it's a really cool experience. Because, you know, like I said, in the beer industry, you didn't see that before.
You didn't.
And now you do. And it's really cool that, you know, yourself and Jimmy and Edgar at Beer Thug Brewing have opened that up and made that more prevalent.
Yeah, there is. I don't even know if it's the same person, but I remember when I was going through my permits, actually. No, I think we're talking about two different people. But I remember it was because there's so many. There's a few breweries with the X at the end, but I think it was called Border X. Uh-huh. in San Diego. Is that the one?
There's a Border X in San Diego. Yeah.
Right. And then over there, I think they did an interview with the owner, and you know that was like really cool. Like he tailored his menu to like the Hispanic dishes and stuff like that, right? And mm-hmm. I always thought like, all right, and that made me feel more like, all right. I think that was the company. I could be biting my tongue, but I was just like, oh, like cool, like this is like friggin' awesome. it's such a cool community with the beer community. I feel it's like the first time I've kind of been able to express like my Hispanic side. I'm not gonna lie, like growing up, I was actually embarrassed about it. Yeah. But now I kind of run with it, and my kids, even though they're half white, I always tell them like, bro, embrace your Hispanic side. Like, yeah. you gotta run with it, dude.
it's one thing, you know. Obviously, I grew up in San Diego, so I have a lot of Hispanic friends, and I still do. It's a culture that should be embraced because we're in Southern California and we're so close to the border. And I mean, God, fuck, the food is top notch. I mean, that's probably 90% of what I eat is Mexican food.
Yeah.
And you know, the culture, the people are very loving and caring individuals. They will do anything for you.
Yeah.
You know, like my best friend, Jose, he's that dude that I could call him and say like, man, it's cold outside. And he'd give me the shirt off his back. He just, yeah. You know, so
that's not me. No, I'm just joking with you.
You're like, I'm cold, bro.
I'm cold, man.
You know what I'm saying? And just, it's just really cool to see. And I love that it's happening here in the beer industry. And I don't think anything, you should embrace your culture. You have an avenue here, a platform where, I mean, you could come up with so many different names to embrace your culture that can be fun and creative and all that of stuff, you know. But yeah. 951 is really cool, like I said.
Yeah, that one was I'll probably get in trouble for this one, but that was kind of like I'm going to keep it real with you. Before we had the brewery, one of my favorite like beers to drink was actually 805. And then, right. And we were like, well, fuck, we got shit out here. I was like, you know, we're going to make a spinoff of that. So I was like, fuck it, we'll make a 95 Juan since we're Hispanic. And that's actually how that name came about. Yeah. And then actually, believe it or not, it doesn't seem like it, but if you actually look at the tap handle, the artwork for the little Hispanic guy is actually a really big artist in Mexico.
Yeah.
I just met him through another artist over here. And he does stuff for big time mariachi singers out there. And it's like even like crazy, like the level of detail, like as he went into it, I was like, damn, it's like, from being younger to when I was younger, like, all right, I'm a little bit embarrassed this to as I got an older, I was like, all right, dude, I'm gonna run with this. Like, this is pretty cool. it's a pretty cool thing, but hopefully I don't get canceled for having a little Hispanic guy on there.
No, I think you're good.
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think you're good. So.
It is what it is. But dude, you told me, so you worked on the ambulance too. What got you into that?
Well, we kind of mentioned it. So, like, basically, I was in the RV industry and the economy was collapsing. And I was like, what can I do to provide for my family that is recession proof? Is kind of what I went through. And so I just kind of looked through it. And then I was like, all right, go to EMT school and be an EMT because 911 never goes away. And so I was like, all right, give it a shot. And I remember my dad telling me, you're going to do that? You used to pass out when you'd see blood or get a blood test. Like, are you sure? And I went into it, and next thing you know, then it kind of somewhat became a career and obviously spawned into what I'm doing now. But
nice.
It was rewarding. It was different. I thought I didn't know if I could do it. And I remember doing my clinicals with AMR and riding out and go out there. We had unfortunately a really bad traffic collision, and I remember the medic that was doing my clinical evaluation, he was like, this guy had drove his car under a semi and he got decapitated, and the medic's like, go check that guy's pulse. And I just kind of looked at him and I was like, he's not gonna have a pulse, his head's not on his body anymore. And I remember the medic telling me, you're going to be just good. Like, he's like, 90% of ENT students would have went and checked his pulse.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what's up. And I was like, well, I was just like, you know, being human, like you're dead. Like, you're not You can't do CPR on that guy.
Yeah, he's dead. Yeah.
And so, yeah, and it just stuck. And I love the career I had. You know, had a good time doing it, and I miss it sometimes, but definitely a rewarding career. So kind of crazy that you and I had that kind of connection as far as being EMTs.
Yeah, that was actually really random, because when you messaged me on Facebook and you said Ben Clark, I'm like, dude, what the heck, Ben Clark? Like, and then I'm thinking in my head, right? I hadn't been a Ben Clark since I was 18. I'm 33. Yeah. It's been 15 years. And I was like, Ben Clark. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, crap. Yeah, that's the place where I take my EMT school. And I was like, oh, crap, we do have a lot we had a lot more in common than I thought we would actually have. That's what's surprising when you walked in and you were talking about that. I was never expecting that.
Yeah.
You know, that, I'm not gonna lie, I go back to working on the ambulance, no, just cause, like you said, the risk to reward and right. the pay, which I still feel that they're very undercompensated till this day.
Yeah.
I almost got ran over on the 101 one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freeway's a very, very dangerous place, and, you know, there was, a lot of close calls, and like I said, it's just not worth the pay. And shout out to all the EMTs, paramedics. We've had them on the show. Johnny C, who recently retired, he's been a guest co-host before with me, and he was a paramedic for many years. And Heather, our good friend that just moved to Nashville, she's still a paramedic. She was one of my old partners, and you know, it's a thankless job. Nobody really thinks about them. They just call them ambulance drivers, and they don't know exactly what all entails, like the job that they do. And
well, yeah, it's really like shitty, right? So like this is part, like the part that sucks about it, right? I'm gonna like be like very straightforward on this, is where I feel like where the people don't thank them enough is, even as an EMT, your thought to how can I fix the situation? Even though you still have your protocols that you can't go past, or even with as a medic, you still have to be out there to fend on your own.
Yeah.
I remember the one time we had a nurse with us, which would be like a higher scope. She was freaking out because she was used to the doctor.
Right.
Being under the orders of the doctor. So it's like, it's funny, like, you know, when you take them to the hospital, like, you know, they talk crap on the paramedic or the EMT, but then you throw them in the same scenario and they would freak out because it would be under the, what do I do without the doctor telling me what to do?
Yeah.
And then you're, as an EMT or paramedic, you're making 15, maybe 18 bucks an hour, but then you have the nurse making 60, and it's not to demean their job, right? But I'm just saying, people don't understand how underpaid.
Yeah, it's crazy to.
They are.
For, you know, put it in perspective that these guys and gals, you know, they make, you know, 15 to 18 bucks an hour, and they have, you know, situations where they're almost run over on the freeway, where you have a high patrol officer or a firefighter that's making probably 3-4 times the amount of money that they are.
Yeah.
And yeah, they have their jobs and very valid, and we're very thankful for them as well. But they're there too, you know, trying to help save lives and get people to the hospital and stuff like that. And it's like, very underpaid job, and you know, I miss it, but I definitely don't miss the pay.
Yeah. And then what did you say was the final straw, why you got out of it?
Almost getting run over on the freeway and having our ambulance get hit. It was one of those things where it's like, within seconds we would be dead.
Yeah.
You know, we grabbed our gear, went start walking down some ice plant down to where a car had rolled over and this lady hit everything, and it's like, that's when you're like, okay, you know what, this isn't worth it. I've got, you know, kids and everything else. And I started getting a little bit older, and I was like, yeah, I gotta get out of this. But, it was, you know, I had my moments, you know. Yeah. I've got my save pins that I've got. I've got some stork pins from delivering babies and different things that I've done throughout my career there. It lasted about 7 years, and, you know, I'm thankful for the experience, but I'm also thankful to be safe now.
Yeah. Same here. One of the things that actually got me out, I don't know if you ever like really experienced this, but there's a few friends that actually, some of my old partners are PAs now.
Yeah.
And some of them are nurse anesthetists, some of them are nurse practitioners. They're my old EMT partners.
Yeah.
And and it's kind of weird, I think maybe I was younger and I was more sensitive at the time, but one of the things I didn't like about the medical field was which that actually helps me with my team today on how I treat them was I always felt like the field was like, well, hey, I'm an EMT. Well, I'm a paramedic. Well, I'm a nurse. Well, I'm a doctor. And there was always this like a stomp down on the person who doesn't have your title kind of thing. I don't know if you agree with me or disagree on
it. Is people in the medical profession, they like to pound their chests.
Yes.
On, you know, what it is exactly. And, you know, they worked hard to do whatever they did. And I was always one of those types of people where it's like, it didn't matter if you're EMT, medic, PA, doctor. It didn't matter. We're all doing the same thing. And the end result was to help people.
Exactly.
But yeah, there was that you would experience. And one of my biggest things, and no offense, because I do have a lot of friends that are firemen. There's a lot of fire agencies that like to try to say, well, we're fire and you're AMR. And
yeah.
It's like, okay, but we have the same licenses and you know, we went to the same classes. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, right? I respect that you're a firefighter and you fight fires, but here on a medical scene, we're the same, you know? And, you know, I didn't appreciate that sometimes. And that would get to me every once in a while.
Yeah, well, that got to me all the time. Even now with our team right now, it's funny, even though I'm the owner, I think like one of like the few owners who like lets like the team like argue with me, right?
Yeah.
but it's just like, well, what's your perspective on it?
Right.
We'll bring up a topic, and then sometimes the topic I'll be like, well, I think this is the right decision.
Yeah.
I'll be like, the whole team will be like, well, no, this is an awful decision, right?
Yeah.
And it's all going back to a lot of it to me goes back to when I was an EMT. I didn't like being like in a situation where where your opinion was just like disregarded. Whereas like here, I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm your boss, but I'm not equal. I'm not higher than you. I just
team.
Have more responsibility. A lot more falls on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Yes. But we're a team when it comes to it.
Yeah. I mean, I can give you an example of that. So Jose, my best friend, he's been on the show many times. He was the medic and I was the EMT. And he'll tell you to this day that he wasn't who he was without me. Like, we were like, it was the package deal kind of thing, you know. And there's just one of those things where we were peas in a pod kind of thing. And, he never would be like, I'm the paramedic and you're the, because he relied on me a lot of times on calls, you know, where, if, you know, the shit was hitting the fan, like he knew he could count on me and I could provide direction. And sometimes I would mouth off to the fire department and say, listen, we're not doing that. And, obviously I think he misses me.
Yeah.
We're still friends to this day. I'm his youngest kid is his godfather, and we're very, very close, but he works on a helicopter now, so he doesn't have to worry about too much. But
cool.
It's we just work together very, very well, and he was one of the very few that were like, not about the title, is about teamwork. And we made that team. So
yeah. And it reminds me of, I think, Martin Givens in Los Angeles. So I don't know if you know, but like in Los Angeles, like AMR is like an Inland Empire thing, right? out there in Los Angeles, it's a Schaefer and it's a Care.
Yep.
Out here, when you see the AMR ambulance, it's what we're used to. But out there, the contract's
different. Yeah.
Yeah, but Martin Givens, he was a medic, and then he became a nurse, and he became a flight nurse, and he became, and that guy. It didn't matter who it was, whether it was like the person cleaning the station we stayed at or anything. It was like, hey, like, you treat everyone with respect no matter what. And there's some really good people out there, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Some really good people out there.
For sure.
And this is far off beer. I think we just kind of went on.
That's okay. That's what we do sometimes. back to the beer.
Yeah.
We sampled some really, really good beers. We've had IPAs, double IPAs, porter, your blonde, your michelada, your seltzer. So good variety of everything. And I think we've gone through your lineup pretty good.
Do you want to try the brown?
Sure.
Fair. Let's
do it. One last beer to,
one last
to
beer.
End the show.
Yeah.
So I believe we're about to have the Choconilla Brown Ale. Pastry Brown Ale. So we'll see what this is about. Good color on it.
So I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know much on the process on this one, okay. But it's a good beer.
That's it. I mean, just by looking at it, it looks like a really good beer. A really good beer.
Yeah.
That actually might be my favorite today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's good. So this is
Choconilla. Yeah. It's all right. So without, I don't know too much of the details with this because I stepped out on that.
Yeah.
But I do know it was aged in the cacao nibs and vanilla beans. So
it's very, very good. Very flavorful beer. It has flavor profiles. Like it's a really heavy beer, but it's not that heavy. It pours very similar to a porter. Probably warm you up like a porter, but very, very good.
Yeah.
A lot of flavor going on. The color on it's really nice. I could see that one. How long have you had this one tapped?
Only 3 weeks, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do the people like it?
So here's the thing. I'm not gonna lie, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
But the peanut butter cup's been
more popular.
Been more popular.
Yeah. People see peanut butter and like me, they go crazy. But and I told you peanut butter is like my jam, and I actually like this one a little bit better. They're both very good, but this one is for me just more on the unique side, I think. And
it's different.
It's good. It's good beer. So definitely highly recommended. Well, all the beers that I had here, highly recommended. So when you guys come here to Good Day Brew Co. in Paris, California, no matter what you order across the spectrum, I'm sure you're going to find something that you like. And definitely come in and hang out and experience the tap room. And Paris, California is, you know, there's a lot of diversity here, a lot of different things going on. Good food. If you're here, happen to be here on a Thursday, you got foodie night, you know, various things. And then, of course, you heard it here from the man himself that there's going to be a food truck here soon.
Yes, yes. A lot of stress, yes.
A lot of stress. So a lot of good things are coming here to Good Day Brew Co. First, I want to thank you for allowing the Beer Dad and Brew podcast to come here and experience your beers and hear your story and let our listeners hear your story. And I hope that some of our listeners come and patronize your business. And, you know, thank you for providing a new outlet here into an area that did not have a brewery before. So that's awesome. Cheers.
Well, cheers, man. Thanks for dropping by.
Yeah, absolutely. So here on the Beer Dad and Brew podcast, something that you probably haven't heard is we have a tradition is every show we end with grandma. And I've had her hiding out here. So you're going to actually meet grandma, and this is going to be really crazy. No, grandma's not going to pop out of the car, but I have her recorded on here.
Oh, nice.
But grandma ends the show every episode. So without further ado, grandma, take us home.
They also practice by drinking the urine of a ram.
The what?
They drink ram's piss.
Because of the pH balance?
No, because if you can drink ram's piss, fuck, you can drink almost anything.
She said fuck.
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Cut my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse a
beer.
I could really use a beer.
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 Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer.
I can't remember how much I have had. I drank a 12-pack with my dad.